Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson has settled all but four of the 24 lawsuits filed against him. Attorney Tony Busby said in a statement Tuesday, the lawsuits allege sexual assault and other inappropriate behavior during massage sessions. Here's the statement from the accuser's lawyer. That would be Tony Busby. We are working through the paperwork related to those settlements. Once we have done so, those particular cases will be dismissed. The terms and amounts of the settlements are confidential. We won't comment further on the settlement or those cases. Ashley Solis is one of the heroes of this story. Her case is not settled, and thus her story and that of the other three brave women will continue. I look forward to trying these cases in due course, consistent with other docket obligations in the court schedule. The NFL put out this statement yesterday. Today's development has no impact on the collectively bargained disciplinary process. Okay, Stephen A.
Yeah.
What should the NFL do now with this latest wrinkle?
They have to make a decision. Whatever they're going to do, listen, we believe Deshaun Watson or we don't believe him, point number one. And point number two, regardless of what we believe, this is our punishment, period. You got to make a decision. Because, you see, I can't just sit up there and say, well, you got to suspend Deshaun Watson for a year. You know why? Because they're investigating it. This is not about their shield. They want to act like they're law enforcement. So now I want to know what you found out before I determine what would be the significant suspension to give him. Is it 8 games? Is it 12 games? Is it the entire season? All of us, I think, at this point would lean towards the entire season, particularly when you consider the fact that his representation gave us a heads up by only having a $1.3 million base salary for this upcoming season. That says that you anticipated you were going to be suspended for this year. To backload the $230 million guaranteed contract on every year after this year, basically guaranteeing close to $229 million after this upcoming season, you basically told on yourself that you anticipated that you was going to get a year. So, damn it, it should be a year. But I would tell you, again, the National Football League is trying to play law enforcement. You're investigating the matter. I want to know what you found out. Now I want to know details. I want to know whether or not that New York Times report was true. 66 women in 17 months. Is that true? These 24 women that have accused him and the 20 he settled with, who had the preponderance of evidence in their favor? Who did you believe that Deshaun Watson may have been telling the truth about? I want to know all of that stuff. I would have never cared about that. If the NFL just minded their business and said, you know what, we the National Football League. We don't know what happened, but you represent us. And this is not a good representation. And I'll put it on Front Street. I'll give you a perfect example. I work for ESPN. It's Walt Disney. You let somebody get accused of 24 different cases at ESPN. We don't need law enforcement to see me, you, or anybody else off these airwaves. We out. We are out until further notice. Let them find out. But for the meantime, you don't need to be on the air representing our brand. I can promise you, without talking to anybody, without even leaning on history or anything like that, you work for this company and you get accused of by 24 different women? Oh, trust me, you done. You out until further notice. We might think about bringing you back if we find out you're totally innocent, but only then would you be out on the air. See how simple that is? ESPN ain't got investigators looking into trying to find out the veracity of the allegations levied against any of us. They're making the decision, you represent our brand. And this is not a good representation of our brand. So you got to go. That's what the NFL used to do. The irony in all of this is that the very situation involving Ray Rice that caused them to dot their I's and cross their T's a little bit more have made them apprehensive and reluctant towards making judgment.
And remind everyone why they crossed their T's and dotted their I's.
Because they dropped the ball.
Because there was a video.
That's right.
Because there was a video.
That's right. Go ahead.
Oh, 100% right. I mean, why is he even in Browns uniform right now in training camps? I don't want to see Deshaun Watson right now. I don't want to see him. You certainly don't want to see him. You want to see him in practice with the Browns. He should be on administrative leave. Nobody cares if he's getting paid or not. You want to pay him the $1.5 million, fine. But he should not be involved in the Brown scenario under any circumstances. And for the life of me, I do not know why the NFL has taken so much time of getting this organized. This has been going on for 14 months. This just didn't happen 2 weeks ago. It's gone on for 14 months. He has the power to do anything he wants under the last collective bargaining agreement when all the players moaned and groaned about he's got too much power. They did nothing about it in the next collective bargaining agreement. All they cared about was getting paid the extra game for the 18 weeks of the 17 games. Then they all give him the power. We just want the money for the extra game. That's when the rank and file voted against the big stars and signed off on the extra game. So why in the world is he taking so long? Forget the investigative part of it. I understand Steve's point. What are you going to find out? Done all this great investigation. Put him on administrative leave. We don't want to see him. We know he's going to get suspended anyway. If you want to pay him on the administrative leave, because a lot of these guys get paid on the administrative, fine, pay him. I don't care. Pay him. I'm not interested. But I don't want to see him in uniform. I don't want to see him getting money for a season when there's still four women out there who did not accept the settlement, and he's got 20 people. I don't want to see him play football. I don't want the Browns to have him there. I'm down in a Brown organization anyway. Haslam, the owner, for making this deal to begin with at $235 million.
Most guaranteed.
I'm down on him.
Most guaranteed
ridiculous.
Money ever.
And the Browns fans, I'm down on him.
Okay.
I'm down on them all, and he represents the Browns fans. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, from that standpoint, he should not be anywhere in uniform. And so, I mean, he should get a year suspension. And then next year, okay, play. I'm okay with it. He settled these 20. Maybe he settles the next four. He sits out the year. Next year, he starts fresh.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. So say this suspension comes down soon, right? And it's a year. Do you think he'll be on the sidelines or would he be banned from facilities?
I'm assuming he's going to be banned. Okay. I'm assuming he will not be allowed on the sidelines.
No, if you're suspended, you're not going to be allowed on the team. You're not going to be allowed on team facilities. You're not going to be allowed on the sideline.
He won't be anywhere near the team for the entire year.
That's how they do it. But I got a question for both of y'all.
Yeah.
What if a year from now, the four cases are still unsolved? The four that haven't been settled. What then?
He doesn't play until they are.
That's your position.
You just threw it at me? I'm thinking about it? Yes, do it that way.
And that could go into the spring.
Yeah, because I'm of the mindset, listen.
It might not be.
If you want to suspend it for a year, fine, okay? But to me, that's it. Because, again, from a criminal perspective, it's done.
He's
not going to jail. Now you're saying that because these matters have been unsettled, even after you suspend them for a full year, and by the way, I don't think you should suspend them for a full year and just get the $1.3 million. I think if you're going to suspend them for a year, you should get the
fine them $10 million. I don't know what the limits are.
You should fine them a significant amount is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, how are the Browns allowed to structure it that
well,
way?
Could the
NFL step in and say, we're not going to protect him?
The NFL should be able to say, this is
why. $1 million hit.
But this is where I disagree with everybody that's holding the Browns accountable. The Browns are an NFL team. 31 other NFL teams, not all of them, of course. The majority of 31 other teams would want him. At least 13 to 14 teams, from what I'm told, wanted him. If the NFL says you can sign him, why shouldn't they sign him? I don't have a problem with that based on those conditions. The NFL made that decision. The Browns haven't won a damn thing since Jim Brown was playing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And those fans, you know this as well as I do, Dougie. Let Deshaun Watson be in that start lineup.
No, they're true.
Oh, they're going to pack. They're going to pack. What is that energy? What is that? What energy?
First energy field.
First energy field. They're going to pack it right off a lake. It could be 10 degrees, 10 below off of Lake Erie. They ain't going to be an empty seat in the house.
I'll buy that.
Okay?
I'll buy that.
And then only that. So you
want to give Haslam a pass?
I think so. Because to me, it's about the NFL. It's about the NFL. You can't knock competitors for trying to compete if they're allowed to compete. It's the National Football League's job to prohibit Deshaun Watson from playing if that's how they feel, especially since they're investigating the matter. And since they've been investigating all of these months, who's to say they didn't tell the Browns, you can go ahead and do it. We're not finding that much here.
If you own the Carolina Panthers, Stephen A., and you didn't have a quarterback, you would be able to live with yourself every day and bring Deshaun Watson to your team?
Let me say this to you. Not Carolina. You know why? That's the Bible Belt. Cleveland? Not so much. It's about your confines. It's about your environment.
Although Carolina did talk to him.
But what I'm saying to you is
Carolina,
it's about your confines.
Carolina dealt with a lot with that owner stepping down,
Without
Jerry
question.
Richardson. That was a disaster. So I don't know. That's the best example of who would want to be in hot water again.
My point to you is this. If you Cleveland, and you ain't won since the 60s, and the only championship you get to look at in any sport is LeBron. And how he erased a 52-year-old curse on the city and the local areas for half a century.
Right.
I'm sorry. They're thinking, look, man, I mean, we ain't going to find too many. Okay. We ain't going to find a bunch of good soldiers. This is the business that we
Let me jump in here really quickly. I want to piggyback on something you said earlier, because John Barr here at ESPN has done a fantastic job reporting on all of this.
Yes.
And to your point, if these four women choose not to settle, and it doesn't seem like Ashley Solis will, right, going in front of cameras, and it feels like she'll continue to fight this, Busby and Harden, the two lawyers, have agreed to not go to trial from August 1st, 2022 until March 1st, 2023. So if it goes to trial, yes, we're talking
so they're
about
gonna
April
give them-
into next, we're talking about 2023 into next summer. So if we're talking about being a distraction and putting it all to bed, if those four don't get settled, this is carrying on.
But they did build themselves a six-month window to see if they can get a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to guess that somehow, some way, between August and March of this coming August and the following March, they will reach an agreement with the other four. That's my take. I think eventually they will. Everybody will soften, put this behind them. The price might go up, but I do think that tells me right there that there is a window to negotiate.
I will certainly say this. I will certainly say two things. Number one, the price definitely would go up. Number one. Number two, if they're willing to hold out, it is plausible that it ain't the money. They want to make a statement.
They might.
And they want to make statement. They might take
talking,
this all the
sorry,
way, the ladies. They might,
you're
they might
about
take
the women.
Yeah, they might take this all the way.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, this woman, Ashley Solis, I don't think she's trying to sell.
I think it's
principle
June,
for some more than.
I agree, but it's also June of 2022.
Right.
Let's discuss this in January when he's already been suspended for a year and he's been out of the picture. Let's discuss this in January of 2023. A lot could happen in a 7 or 8 month period. People soften. He's been punished. You could make that argument, and that is why they build this window in. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's possible.
Let me tell you this. If what they're accusing him of is true, these women are not going to soften.
Well, I can't answer.
So I'm just telling you that.
Maybe you're right.
This type of behavior damages you and haunts you for the rest of your life.
Maybe you're right.
So just like a little, hey, you're going to lose $1 million and then you're going to get your $229 back and you couldn't play football for one season. Trust
me. But they did give a window of 6 months.
Let me.
Absolutely. But I'm just.
Let me respond to what you just said, Molly. No disagreement there. But you do have to ask yourself, if you're those ladies, you do have to ask yourself the question, what are you going to be able to prove and how believable is that going to be? They're going to take that into consideration as well. Now, if you got them lock, stock, and barrel, you got video evidence, you know, you got a whole bunch of stuff that clearly, clearly illustrates his guilt, that's an entirely different matter. But if you don't have that preponderance of evidence that you believe is compelling enough where there will not be any doubt as to how truthful you are, then you may lean towards what Doggy is saying and settle.
But I'm just saying, in the same breath, some people might want to take it all the way and take it in front of trial, because not everything's transactional.
That's right.
I want to clarify one thing. So there is something new in the NFL collective bargaining agreement. So an independent third party has to investigate these cases before the league
but
rules on
it. But it's Goodell who's the
final
arbitrator.
Yes.
Yeah.
He just has to wait.
He's the one who's making the call.
But he has to wait until all of that comes in. And then he gets to make a decision. He can't make a decision before then.
Yes, absolutely. Appreciate the discussion, gentlemen. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
He is so much fun. Goodness gracious. And here we are again. The Mad Dog List. To educate, to inform, and to entertain.
Oh, Lord.
Now, last week, I got all this abuse with Boston not in the top five. So we're going to lay low here and do the proper thing. And so, yes, if you're wondering, he can't not put Brady and Gronk in the top five, quarterback, tight end. Of course I do. But this is about quarterback, and this is about the tight end spot, and this is about Hall of Fame candidacy. So right to it, and then we'll hear from the promised one, Mr. Smith, shortly. Number five. I told you I was going to put him on his list. There he is.
Five.
Tom Brady to Mr. Rob Gronkowski. What a combination. Two different cities. Plenty of Super Bowls. We know how wonderful Gronkowski was. Brady, the greatest of all time. So even I can't put him in the honorable mention category. He is number five. Number four, unheralded, but it's a no doubt about her. This is Bart Starr to Ron Kramer. What? Who? Ron Kramer, right there. This guy was so good. He played basically played basketball at Michigan. He won Super Bowls. He ran over the Giants in the 61 championship game at Lambeau, 37-0. The next year, he blocked like crazy for Jim Taylor, 16-7 at Yankee Stadium in 3-degree weather. He got traded to Detroit because he had some family issues and Lombardi gave him a break. But Dave Robinson and Jerry Kramer, two Hall of Famers, told me, Chris, no question about it. This would have been one of the all-time great tight ends. He deserves recognition. Number four, Starter Kramer. Number three, nobody's going to argue with this. Stabler to Casper. Stabler's an all-time great at the position. Look at Stabler. Oh, my. To Dave Casper, a Hall of Famer. The goat to the post. The 70. They got the highlight. The 77 playoff game at Memorial Stadium. In overtime, Casper over his shoulder. 37-31 Raiders for John Madden. No issues. There wasn't a better quarterback in the history of the NFL. I've watched for 55 years who was better. In fourth quarter spots, down the stretch, down the field, no timeouts. Then the snake. And Casper's a big reason why. Number three. Number two. No argument whatsoever, please. Unite us. To John Mackey. Don't even go there if you're saying, who's John Mackey? John Mackey? 1963 to 1971. Super Bowl catches in big spots. The great Unitas, who invented the position at quarterback, called his own plays. Mackey, a wonderful player, head of the Players Association. Not even debatable. Johnny Uta Mack. And number one, don't go anywhere here either. It wasn't that long, but no better combination than Fouts to Kellen Winslow Sr. No better combination. And they had Jefferson, and they had Loft, and they had Charlie Joyner. They had Wes Chandler. Who did he go to, Fouts? Every single time in a big possession, he went, big first down, he went to Winslow. And what did Winslow do against Miami in the playoffs in 1980 when they beat the Dolphins in the hot weather? 13 catches, touchdowns all over the place, and he blocked a field goal attempt by Banerjka. Chargers in overtime, 41-35. The great Winslow with Fouts. This is a super list. You want to kill me about Boston? Go ahead. Don't kill me here. If you do, you know nothing about pro football. Nothing.
I'm wondering what you know. What? This?
Unitas and Neck. How old was I? I was born in 1967. When was this, man? When was this, doggy?
63.
Oh, my Lord. 1963, doggy. All right. Stabler, Casper. I like that. I like that. Maybe you should put them at five. Let me ask you this question. First of all, Brady and Gronk should be number one.
No, hold on. Fountain Winslow?
Excuse me. Brady, Gronk. Four Super Bowl titles should be number one. I love Fouts and Winslow. I loved Ed Coryell. I loved them a lot, okay? Excuse me. The fact of the matter is there one Super Bowl championship on their resume? One!
Well, that's because they're going against better teams than Gronkowski and Brady Gronk.
Excuse me.
Pay attention.
You got a quarterback, tight end combo that's elite. You got to show me at least one chip if you got them number one. So let's drop them. They're on the list, but let's drop them. I'm sorry, even though they don't have a championship, because they certainly don't. Are we just going to ignore Tony Romo and Jason Witten? Are we going to do that? We're going to ignore that?
Yes.
Okay.
Romo's not a Hall of Famer.
Let me ask you this question. Okay. How about John Elway and Shannon Sharpe?
Shannon Sharpe is a wide receiver more than he's a tight end.
Shannon Sharpe,
he's a wide receiver.
Shannon Sharpe went into the Hall of Fame as a tight end. Stop it.
Excuse me. Big guys, block.
I don't know. I wasn't born here. So I'm not going to argue about that.
Oh, you can't. You're not.
I don't know. Okay. I love Stabler, Casper. I'm going to take Brady and Gronk. I'm going to put them number one. Okay. I'm going to take Shannon Sharpe and Elway. I'm going to put them number two. Okay. Excuse me. Yes, he is. He'll tell you that. That's number two. Number three, you want to leave Stabler and Casper in there? Okay, we'll go with that. Star, Kramer.
I checked. I made calls.
What year is this?
Kramer, great.
What year is this?
61 and 62. And 60.
Molly, help me out here. I'm just sitting there like this. You got two dudes up here, two categories, right? Two pairs. I wasn't even born. I guess I could go look. I mean, is there any footage?
I thought, wait, time out. Let me on camera. I thought we were going to talk about guys like Shannon Sharpe.
He's a wide receiver.
Antonio Gates, even Ditka. So, you know, so, but I mean, like.
Well, the Kramer, reason why you can't put Gates up there, Rivers is not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Why are we yelling?
He's the role Hall of Fame.
Tell me, Rivers probably will go to the Hall of Fame.
He shouldn't be.
All right, he will go to the Hall of Fame.
Shouldn't be.
Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, yeah. Matt Ryan, we can't ignore
Matt
that.
Matt Ryan's not a Hall of Fame. He's not as good as these five.
Shannon Sharpe.
He's not a prototypical tight end.
These are tight ends. Excuse me. I'm just looking at this right now.
How could you argue with this?
Easily. Brady and Gronk at number
four. You want to put it number four?
Brady and Gronk, four Super Bowl titles. You have as number five.
I got him in the list.
That in and of itself is blasphemous. It's absolutely blasphemous. It makes no sense.
It does make perfect sense.
Listen.
Is he a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah, Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Hall of Famer?
Excuse me.
Hall of Famer?
Okay.
Definitely.
Hall of Famer?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know about Mackie, Casper, and Kramer. I don't know.
All you
know
Hall what? Of
I, you know what
okay.
I know about
okay.
Kramer?
Okay. Okay.
You ever
okay.
heard the movie Kramer versus Kramer?
Good movie.
Okay. That's what I know. Okay. Kramer versus Kramer.
Here's what I know.
Oh, my goodness.
We're all yelling. All right. We're all yelling, so we're just going to take it down a notch and use our library voices. And the next time you do a list, I'm going to put some limits on it, like 80s, 90s.
We
can't go to the 50s and the.
They named the Super Bowl for the Lombardi, for Vince
I'm
Lombardi.
I'm aware.
He coached Ron Kramer. Lombardi himself said, "This is the best pound-for-pound tight end I've ever coached." What does that tell you? Lombardi. Don't look at me that way.
Okay. When I walked over, it meant we were rapping. You go back, too.
I leave?
It's time to go to break. You leave, too.
Let's just take a moment.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We welcome in our guy, PK Subban. Great to have you, sir.
Thank you, Molly.
All right. So here's where we're going. PK, you came on the other day,
mm-hmm.
and when the Lightning were down 2-0, and said the series isn't over yet,
mm-hmm.
and you were right. Now, these playoffs have been great, obviously garnering a lot of attention. But do you think hockey receives the attention that it deserves?
No, I don't think it does. I think that hockey has been a sport that has grown a lot in terms of marketing the game, in terms of TV. Obviously, now we're on ESPN, gives us more exposure, which is great. But I think when it comes down to the actual game of hockey and the way the game is being played, the appreciation for team sports, and we talked about it a little bit, Stephen A., it's the ultimate team sport. Mm-hmm. I think that where hockey sometimes, it can be difficult for people to pick up the game is the speed of the game. It's very, very fast. I remember asking LeBron James this a few years ago. I said, man, LeBron, you ever watch hockey? He's like, yeah, man, I love it, but, you know, I got to watch it in person. I go, what do you mean? He's like, the puck's so fast to follow on TV. So there's a little bit of that, but I love the game of hockey, obviously, growing up playing it. My parents traditionally didn't grow up in North America. They came from the Caribbean over, and they put me into the game. They
wanted what part of the Caribbean?
My dad's from Jamaica.
All right.
My mom's from Montserrat, okay. Small island close to Antigua.
Right.
Yeah, and they wanted to kind of get me integrated into Canadian culture and play the game of hockey.
My father's from Antigua, yeah.
No way.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
My family's from St. Thomas, St. Croix.
We got to do a visit. I've never been, Stephen A.
St. Thomas.
Maybe we'll go down there, build a hockey rink, and start a team down there.
You know, we can do the hockey. We can do the hockey. Let me tell you something, man. See, you're missing it. You're missing it.
Okay.
Here's the reason why hockey lacks its appreciation, okay? Damn it, everybody can't ice skate. Let's just call it what it is. Ice skating is not easy. It is a very, very, very hard thing to do, okay? All right, I know I've tried it twice, and I've gotten about 3 feet
where
while busting my tail. At the ice rink on a...
Rockefeller?
No, at the ice rink over there, Chelsea Pier.
Oh,
had
yes.
An ice rink over there at Chelsea Pier. I went there twice because my daughter got me to go there, and I busted my butt in front of her whole class. Not once, but twice, and I've given it up, okay? The problem is not everybody knows how to skate, okay? Ice skate, roller skate, different. If it was on roller skates, it'd be more popular.
It's also money, too. Hockey's extremely expensive.
Accessibility,
That is true, obviously. But you are right about the speed of the game, okay? Excuse me, by the way, Tampa Bay is still down 2-1. And last time I checked, even though they won the last game 6-2, Colorado is still faster. They look faster. They've outshot them like 39-33 in the first three games, 2-4 in power play.
That's why I'm nervous.
In the last game,
that's
5-11 for the series. Let's make sure we understand.
That's why I'm nervous.
Let's do that hockey. Let's do that
hockey. That's why I'm nervous.
And by the way, the fact that Colorado had to replace their goalie because he snuck up the joint last game, I think it's going to come back to haunt them in this particular game. So Tampa Bay is going down, and they're going back to Colorado down 3-1.
No, they're not.
To say that. But to answer the question real quickly, bottom line is this. Hockey is to be respected. Hockey is to be appreciated. I get all of that. It's a tremendous skill to know how to play the sport. The combination of the arduous point that comes with the skill, meaning the skating, combined with the speed, combined with the expense of playing the sport, all contribute to its limited level of popularity.
I hit 100%. And the one thing that I think we need to do about Tampa, they are an incredibly gutty team. I mean, they've won 11 straight series. The record's 19. And that's why tonight, if they win the game, they might win in 7 games.
Listen to me. First of all, I want to answer what Stephen A. said about hockey. Hockey, in my opinion, is the toughest sport to play. You have to train like a football player, because you got to be physical, you got to have explosiveness, you have to have power. You also have to be well-conditioned, right? And then you have to be able to do that on a blade that's about this thin, right? You have to use your full body, feet, hands, all of that. So I have an appreciation for the game because I've played it, and I've trained in different ways
I believe you.
That people don't understand. So I wanted to make that point. When it comes to Tampa Bay, this is a resilient team. This is a team that's been beaten in the playoffs, that's been embarrassed. We swept Tampa Bay. When I was in Montreal and they had Palat, Stamkos, we swept them. We embarrassed them. So I've seen them go through it. I've seen John Cooper behind the bench, you know, scratching his head, doing math during games.
Going on with your commentary today and yesterday. I'm glad that you reminded me because I sense it. There's something about you that wants Tampa to win this stuff. I mean, this is not completely objective. You've been finding every excuse. When Tampa Bay ramrodded them 7-0 in game 2, you still was coming out. I'm telling you, don't count Tampa Bay out. I'm just saying, you just see there's something there.
No, listen to me. I'm a little bit old school. Everybody talks about Connor McDavid being the best player in the National Hockey League, and he is. We've never seen a player do what Connor McDavid does on the ice. But my generation and playing in this league as long as I've had, I've seen Sidney Crosby in the East almost every – I mean, playing in Montreal, I saw him 8 times a year. We played against him in the playoffs. When I started my career, it started against playing against Sidney Crosby. I got to respect for Sidney Crosby and his ability to win Stanley Cups and lead. So I've always been biased to always say Sidney Crosby's the best player in the league. When it comes to Tampa, it's the same thing. I've seen that team grow. Okay. Colorado's just starting out.
Who's winning?
Give it to me.
Who's winning game four?
Listen, I think Tampa's winning game four.
We need a quick answer.
If they're healthy. Kucherov, if he's healthy. Braden Point, if they're healthy. Mm-hmm. Enough to contribute. Mm-hmm. I think that Tampa's going to find a way to win. But Bednar, that's my guy, Bedsy, and he knows. I hope he's listening. I want to see Colorado also be successful. I think Colorado has enough to win. They've gone through enough growing pains. I want to see them win this series.
We got to go. Some dude named PK once told me speed kills. He's ignoring that in his commentary here. I remind him when Colorado's Tampa Bay quicker. Loses tonight, Colorado wins. They're going back to Colorado, and they're going to avalanche the light.
I always take it to the bank.
It's too hot for snow in Tampa right now, though. It's too hot for snow in Tampa right now.
PK, good stuff. Thank you so much.
All right.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Before KD gets that great respect from all the old heads, he's going to have to win a championship as the guy, as the bus driver. Listen, he joined this, that team had already won a championship, so no disrespect, that's just a fact. The old guys like myself, hey, KD's an all-time hell of a player, but until he is the guy on a championship team, we're not going to ever give him the respect, I mean, that he probably deserves. And that's just the way it is. And like I say, the game hasn't changed. Kobe said it. LeBron said it. And so we're going to hold him to the same high standard.
KD then responded on Twitter saying this, all this bleep is nasty, another terrible analogy from a hating old head that can't accept that we're making more bread than him. It's just timing, Chucky. Don't hate the player. All right, JJ back here with us. Can I just say one thing? There's no one I like to watch more on TV than Charles Barkley. I think he's so entertaining. But if I hear any more about this bus after this segment, it is such a tortured metaphor. We need to put the whole bus driver thing to bed, please, if I hear it one more time.
Yeah.
Stephen A., do you have a problem with Barkley's comments on KD?
I don't have a problem with Barkley's comments, and I don't have a problem with Kevin Durant clapping back at him. I think it's perfectly within Kevin Durant's right to clap back. He is a two-time champion. He is a two-time NBA Finals MVP. I think when healthy, he's the greatest player on the planet. And the fact of the matter is he has more hardware on his resume than Charles Barkley does. That's just a fact. But when he brings up the cash, it's not about the cash. So why bring that up? I don't understand that. You might have some old heads, as he would say, hating on the modern-day era of players getting paid the money that they're getting paid. But it would be because they feel like some of the younger dudes or the modern-day players don't have an appreciation for those who paved the way for them to the degree that they should. I don't think he should have brought up the money in regards to that. I said, but I do think that he should have clapped back. But I also think it's important to understand what Charles Barkley was trying to say. Because Barkley wasn't lying about what people will say. I'm talking about Hall of Famers. A lot of times, JJ, when I sit up here and I talk about basketball the way that I do, what people keep forgetting, I've been a journalist for nearly 30 years. I was in the locker rooms, on the beat, traveling 200-plus days a year for close to 20 years covering the National Basketball Association. And every single year, every time I had something to say about the modern-day player, it was the Hall of Famers who'd pick up the phone and call and say, don't forget to hold them accountable. Hold them to the same standard you will hold us to. This is what the standard is, and you better believe you damn well better not let them get away with that. Keep it consistent. This is the kind of things that they said. So the only reason that I bring up, and I'm not agreeing with Charles Barkley at all in terms of what Kevin Durant's stature was, because even though it was Steph Curry's team, he was the best player on that team, okay? But I will tell you that there are Hall of Famers who are champions that are going to look at the departure from Oklahoma City to Golden State a month after being in Oklahoma City and losing to them. And they're going to say, okay, you went to a ready-made squad, and then you departed from Steph Curry. You chose Kyrie Irving. You go to Brooklyn, and you've won one playoff series in 3 years. There are going to be those who look at him and are critical in that regard. And it ain't going to be the Stephen A's of the world. It's not going to be the J.J. Reddick's of the world. But it is going to be some of those Hall of Famers who are champions who think about what they had to endure and say, where's the same heat in his direction? That is what Charles Barkley was articulating, and I didn't lose sight of that.
Well, first off, I wish Burke, and I love him, and he was the best player on that 92 Dream Team. I wish Barkley had won a championship or two, because he didn't win one. Charles likes to put himself with the Isaiahs, the Jordans, and the Kareems, and the Magic. Charles didn't win a title. Got to be fair.
And they don't put him with them.
Well, he puts himself, with them. Yeah, he puts himself with them. And Charles is not, he's great, but he didn't win a title. And he can't say it's all Jordan, because Shaq beat Jordan, and Elijah won a championship when Jordan was playing. So it's not all Jordan. And he bailed out of Philly because he wanted to get out of the Eastern Conference, and he wanted to go to Phoenix, and he still couldn't beat Jordan. So that's the first thing. Now, I think he happens to be right, though. I do think Durant, from a legacy standpoint, I think another title without Curry would help him. I think there are people out there who think, well, you know, Curry won without Durant, won the MVP. How come Durant hasn't won without Curry? So I do think there's something to that. I wish Durant would be bigger and not tweet back. I would wish he'd be bigger. Let it go. That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack here, and we talked a little bit about all this yesterday. In terms of, do I have a problem with Charles speaking out? The answer is no. Do I have a problem with Kevin Durant clapping back? The answer is no. Do I agree with Charles Barkley's comments? I don't. And Legler eloquently put it yesterday. Kevin Durant was the bus driver, and the registration on that bus was in Steph Curry's name. Like, we all know that was a big part of why Kevin Durant probably left, is that it was Steph Curry's team. It was always going to be Steph Curry's team. And he recognized, right, some of the legacy narrative talk, and we can talk about the differences a little bit in that, was that he went to Steph Curry's team and won there. But in terms of him being the bus driver, he was the bus driver on those two championship teams. I mean, you go down the line, you know, 35, 8-5 in 17, 29, 11, 7.5 in 18. He was unbelievable in those finals games. And Warriors fans, they always think I'm hating on them and I'm hating on Steph. Like, Steph's my favorite player. He's one of the all-time greats. I'm not sure that those Warriors teams without Kevin Durant beat Houston. I'll be honest with you. Those series were neck and neck in both years. They had a 3-2 lead in 17. It was 2-2 in 18. I'm not sure they beat Houston without Kevin Durant. That's how important he was. On your point, though, about Charles, I think sometimes Charles says things and we don't view it necessarily as analysis. We view it as entertainment. And that's a lot of why he's so good on television. He is incredibly entertaining. But I do think he has credibility to speak on things. I'm not saying he puts himself. I don't get that sense that he puts himself in the same class as Isaiah or MJ or all that. Talent-wise, sure. But he has enough credibility to speak on this. And he's right on the sense that the narrative around Kevin Durant would change if he won another championship in a different place. I don't think it changes his legacy, his accomplishments, his Hall of Fame career, being one of the 10 or 12 greatest players of all time. Another championship doesn't change that.
Well, Charles Barkley definitely has credibility about anything with basketball. He was a superstar in this game. He wasn't some scrub. This is a brother that showed up in the Game 7 of a conference finals and dropped 44 in 24. This is a brother that Jordan stopped from winning the championship. Now, you have people like Jordan, Julius Irvin, even Isaiah Thomas that talk about the sacrifice he didn't make to win championships. So you're going to have guys who did that say, who are you? Well, here's my response to that. He is a gold medalist. He is one of the elite players. He is a Hall of Famer. So he has credibility, but it doesn't mean he has to be right with everything he says. We respectfully disagree with how he classified Kevin Durant, but he definitely had the right to say it, and he has credibility with anything
that he speaks
on with basketball.
We got to go to break. He's an analyst. He's paid. And when there's people on TV that have never played a lick of basketball, Charles Barkley surely can have an opinion.
That's right.
I will leave it with that. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
I told y'all don't let us win a championship, and clearly nobody could stop it. I warned y'all, so I'm just going to continue to destroy people on Twitter, as I have been, and Instagram stories. I really love this group. I just want to say thank you all, and as always, everybody else. I love y'all.
Did you enjoy the speech?
Let's give him credit. And I've been hard on him. That was an unbelievable performance in Game 6.
He did.
He played great in the game. He did what he's supposed to do. He rebounded, offensive rebounds. He made a couple of big shots.
He looked like a Hall of Famer.
That day he was a Hall of Famer. So we have to give him his due. He was superb. But hold on now. Weren't the Warriors the same group that were all upset that the Celtic fans were killing him with the language in games 3 and 4? Kerr made a big deal. The Celtic fans should be more classy than that. Draymond's wife tweeted, what a disgrace, the terrible fan base and everything else, saying that about my husband. And then he's out there using the same language? Well, hold on, it doesn't work that way. He had kids going to press conferences using shaky language. If you want to sit there and kill the Boston fan base for the language, then you got to clean it up and use good language yourself.
Not going to disagree with that. I would like him to be a bit more PC with little kids around, but that's about it. I love the fact that he's clapping back. The Draymond Green podcast, check it out. Let's give him props for that, because he talked the talk, and then when it came time, he walked it when he had to. Let's give him respect where it's due. He's a four-time champion. Show the respect.
We'll see you guys in August.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.